In Nashville, Tennessee. And during the break, several of the pastors ran across the street to a convenience store to buy some snacks. The store clerk was checking these pastors out as they came in one by one. They're buying gum, pop, newspapers. One man put a big bottle of cough medicine on the counter. And the store clerk, in a cheery voice, asked, "Where do you preach, sir?" The man had a sour look on his face and said, "Give me a break. I'm not a preacher. I just look this way because I'm sick." We're all sick. Ernie, I'm ringing. We're all sick. Our world is sick. But Jesus' death and resurrection has changed this forever. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for dying for our sin and every broken part of our lives and world. And thank you for raising to newness of life and reaffirming that we will also be raised with you in the future. Fill us with your joy that cannot be dampened by the impact of the grave. We pray this in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Text today will be in John 11, 1-44. Ernie's going to put it on the screen and I'll walk you through the text as we go through it. Today is Easter Sunday, or Resurrection Sunday, if you will. We've been walking the last 40-some days in Lent, preparing our hearts for both what was about to happen on Good Friday and Easter Sunday, wanting to create space both for the things that need to die in our lives, but also the new life God wants to bring within us. In this period of Lent, we've been focusing on the I Am sayings of Jesus in the Gospel or the Good News of John. Who is Jesus declaring he really is? So far, we've looked at, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. Before Abraham was, I am. I am the gate for the sheep. I am the vine. I am the way, the life, and the truth. And today in John 11, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you ever think about death? Because of my fears, death has been something I've thought of ever since I can remember having memories. I would have nightmares of drowning in water or falling off cliffs. Keep in mind, I almost drowned in a dugout when I was 5 years old. If I got conscripted for the war, I was going to become a draft dodger and go to jail instead of dying on a battlefield. What five-year-old thinks of such things? When I was 6 years old, my oldest brother, he's 10 years older than I am, he asked me if I'd ever given control of my life to Jesus. I knew exactly what he was talking about. I'd gone to church all of my life to this point. So I said to my brother, "You mean like out loud?" And he said, "Yeah." So I knelt by my bed and I said, "Jesus, I give you complete control of my life." And you know what happened next? Nothing. Well, nothing I could tell right away. But it was about 2 years later when I was 8, I realized I didn't have nightmares anymore. And I was no longer afraid of dying, and I'm not afraid of dying today. I encountered someone who was greater than death, that is now controlling the destiny of my life. It was Jesus, the one who conquered and vanquished death forever. Or as the Apostle Paul points out in Corinthians 15:55, "O death, where's your victory? O death, where's your sting?" John chapter 11. Everything seems to be going at breakneck speed as Jesus is moving toward Jerusalem, where he'll be betrayed and is handed over to sinners to be crucified. I might add that we are each as much sinners as anyone who's ever walked this planet before us. As our narrative unfolds today, Jesus has three really good friends. They live in Bethany, which is about 2 miles from Jerusalem, Lazarus and his two sisters, Mary and Martha. In John 11:2, it mentions that this is the same Mary who would pour expensive perfume over Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. In every sense, anointed Jesus for his upcoming burial. And then at the end of verse 2, it mentions Lazarus is ill. He's sick. Verse 3, the sisters send a SOS message to Jesus saying, the one you love, Lazarus, is ill. When Jesus gets the message in John 11:4, he responds by saying, this illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. So Lazarus must have a bad cold or something. But the good news is, he's going to be back to fight for another day. Have you ever experienced a bad cold where you weren't sure you were going to make it? In John 11, verse 5 and 6, it affirms Jesus' love for all three siblings, but he stays another 2 days. And then John 11, 7 to 10, Jesus tells his disciples, let's go to Judea again. And his followers start freaking out because the last time they were in Judea, mentioned in John 10, 33, the religious leaders tried stoning Jesus, accusing him of only being human, but making himself out to be God. So the religious leaders clearly caught who Jesus was claiming to be, God. All the way through the book of John, Jesus has been declaring that Jesus is God. He's the great I am. He has always been. But this upset the religious system, because Jesus as the Messiah did not come the way that they expected or wanted. Jesus' followers don't want anything to happen to Jesus. Stay as far away from Jerusalem as possible. John 11, 10, 12, Jesus says, Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going to wake him up. And the disciples respond by saying, well, if Lazarus has only fallen asleep, he'll be okay. Cancel the trip into danger. But Jesus clarifies by saying that by sleep he means Lazarus is dead. And then he adds, for your sake, I'm glad I was not there so you may believe. What would have happened if Jesus was there? He would have probably healed Lazarus, but now his friend is dead. No drama from the disciples at all. Thomas says about traveling with Jesus into Judea, let's go with him so we may all die with him. In John 11, 17 to 20, by the time Jesus arrives, Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. And many have come to comfort Mary and Martha. In verses 20, 21, Martha says to Jesus, If you would have only been here, my brother would have not died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask him. There is such a thin veil between life and death. It's paper thin. As long as our family member, friend, child has breath, they're still alive. There's still hope. But when they are dead, there's no going back. If Jesus would have just been there 4 days earlier, none of this would have happened. Have you ever thought this in your life through hardship and suffering and pain? If Jesus would have only been there, nothing would have happened. John 11, 23, 24, Jesus says to Martha, your brother will rise again. And she responds by saying, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Down the road, into eternity, we will all rise again. And here again, Jesus proclaims who he is. In John 11, 26, 27, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Jesus not only has the power to raise people from death to life in the future, but he can do it right now, right here, to the glory of God. Jesus has the power over life and death. Do you actually believe Jesus has the power over your life and your death? Verse 27. Martha says, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming to the world." Martha is choosing to trust Jesus even though she does not fully understand where this is going. She leaves to tell her sister Mary that Jesus has arrived. John 11:31, Mary quickly gets up and goes to Jesus. Those grieving tag along. Verse 32-33, Mary also says, "Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw Mary weeping along with those who had come with her, he was disturbed in his spirit and deeply moved. The idea of Jesus being disturbed here is actually anger. Jesus is actually angry at death itself and the devastation and the carnage it brings. There was no death in the world until Adam and Eve broke relationship with God to do it their own way. What do people say? There are only two things you can't avoid: taxes and death. Which of us has not lost a family member or a friend to death? John 11:34-37. Jesus said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." And Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus wept over the loss death brings. He equally understands our losses. Could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind not kept Lazarus from dying? Verses 38-39. Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was laying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said, "Lord, already there's a stench, because he's been dead for 4 days." On the farm, if you came across an animal who had been dead for 4 days, it was not a pretty sight or smell. But Jesus is up to something. All I know is that when God is on the move, I want to be a part of whatever he's doing. What do you think the one who's Lord over life and death is going to do? Verses 40-42. Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looks upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I've said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so they may believe that you sent me." There is nothing that is impossible for God. Jesus fully knows he has the power over life and death. But he says, "I'm doing this for the sake of those around me." He said the same thing to disciples before they left for Bethany. It was for their sake Jesus was going to do what he was about to do. He does it for our sake too. Why is Jesus going to act? At the end of verse 42, Jesus answered this by saying, "So they may believe that you, his heavenly Father, have sent me." This is the seventh sign act or miracle recorded in the Gospel of John that reveals Jesus' true identity as God. So then what happens next in John 11:43-44? After Jesus had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, Come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in strips of cloth, his face wrapped in cloth, and Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. Lazarus, who's been dead for 4 days and has started to smell, cannot be held by death or the grave because of who Jesus is. The great I am. The resurrection and the life has spoken to what was dead, and it must obey his command and come to life. In a cemetery, Hanover, Germany, there's a grave on which were placed huge slabs of granite and marble cemented together and fastened with heavy steel clasps. It belonged to a woman who did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. Yet strangely, she directed in her will that the grave be made so secure that there would be, if there would be a resurrection, it couldn't reach her. Only on the marker were inscribed these words, "This burial place must never be opened." In time, a seed covered over by stones began to grow. Slowly it pushed its way through the soil and out from beneath them. As the trunk enlarged, the great slabs were gradually shifted, so the steel clasps were broken from their sockets. A tiny seed had become a tree that had pushed aside the stones. It's impossible to stop what God chooses to resurrect. Some of you might be aware that Taylor Wilson teaches a class on the Gospel of John before church on Sunday mornings. It's an excellent class. We've talked about the I am sayings of Jesus in the book of John. Taylor says, probably the most definitive and dynamic I am statement is when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane in John 18:4-6. A mob of soldiers are coming to arrest Jesus at night, and Jesus asks them who they're looking for, and they say, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus responds by saying, I am. Jesus is most clearly calling on his divine name, I am. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who's always been and will forever be. You will never guess what happens when Jesus declares, I am. Everyone falls to the ground. This also foreshadows of what to come. The very name of Jesus is so powerful. In Philippians 2:10-11, it says that the day is coming that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Every knee throughout history of the world will bow willingly or otherwise to the great I am, to Jesus who is God. The second thing I want to focus on in this Resurrection Sunday is that Jesus states, I am the resurrection and the life. What does this mean exactly? Have you ever wanted to do something and someone said that's not been done before? You wanted to fly your kite to the moon, swimming from California to Hawaii, someone jumping into a hot volcano and living to tell about it. When was the last time you saw someone raised from the dead? In the Gospels, there are four different times Jesus raises people from the dead. There, of course, probably were many more. Mark 5:21-43, Jairus' daughter is raised from the dead. Luke 7:11-17, the widow's son is raised from the dead. In our text today, in John 11:38-44, Lazarus is raised from the dead. John 20:1-29, Jesus raises himself from the dead 3 days after being crucified. Do you remember? In John 2:18-19, where the religious leaders were demanding a sign from Jesus that he was the Christ, the Messiah, and Jesus said this, "This is the sign I'll give you. Destroy this temple," Jesus' body, "and in 3 days I'll raise it up again." And this is exactly what he does on Easter Sunday. But if raising from the dead has happened before, one time, two times, three times, four times, and many more. What does this mean for the followers of Jesus into eternity? Jesus' lordship is over death itself. Death is so weak that Jesus compares it to falling asleep, like taking a nap on a couch and then waking up. Gary Burge, in other words, eternal life and the finality of death are not mere gifts obtained by appealing to God. They're aspects of what it means to live a life associated with Jesus. Anything that is associated with Jesus gets raised. The same confidence Jesus had in raising others from the dead should be our confidence in being raised from the dead into eternity, because our resurrection is related completely to Jesus. Burge says this: death is just a pathway for further communion with Jesus. Isn't that a great line? It's just a pathway. Everything hinges on our encounter and relationship with the risen Christ. Jesus' power over death in his resurrection changes our deaths, but it should also change our lives, how we live, and where we focus our lives on. It's always in him. The resurrection of life can only come from Jesus, the great I am. Let's pray. Jesus, we recognize today that our very breath comes from you. All we have has come from you. Help us to live every day to the fullest, relying on your Holy Spirit to fill us. And then, by your words, deeds, and actions, participating in your kingdom coming to earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.
I think that's good. For myself personally, I find Easter is not celebrated as much as it should be. Like Christmas is woo-wah, Jesus shows up, and Easter is just sort of like, it's, you know, it's there, but it's not celebrated as much. And myself, I didn't grow up in a home that where the Bible was followed, and we went to church Christmas and Easter, and but we didn't live the days in between according to the Bible. And for me, Easter, when I found the Lord, Easter became very special to me. And I just want to share the verse out of Romans 6, verse 23, which says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And like Pastor Lewis said, we're all sinners, every single one of us. And we want to live our lives the way we want to live them. And we don't do the things God wants us to do. We do the things he doesn't want us to do. We want to be our own God. And we've earned the wages of death for that. That's the bad news. The good news is that he made a way that's free for all of us. It cost Jesus everything, cost him his life. But he granted us eternal life for those to come to him. And I know people say, well, what does that mean? I came to Jesus. And Jesus just said, you know, repent and believe. And repent is just a fancy word for just doing a U-turn. I was living this way. I was doing what I wanted. And then I found out who Jesus was and what he was all about and what he wants for me. And I did a U-turn. And I'm following Jesus now. I'm not doing what I want. I believe he is the only way to God, like he said. So this Easter season, I would just challenge all of us to just consider what Jesus did for you, what it cost him, and how all it costs us is just a surrendered heart, a surrendered mind, a surrendered life to him, to follow him, not only in this life, but in the life to come. He is the resurrection. and the life. So please stand as we start to close our service with a couple more songs. Are you past the point of weary? Is your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry?
Let me tell you about my Jesus.
Do you feel
the empty feeling?
Cause shame's done all its dealing. And you're desperate for some healing.
Let me tell you about my Jesus. The way where there ain't no way rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus.
His love is strong
and his grace is free. The good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen, amen.
Who can wipe away the tears from broken dreams and wasted years until the past to disappear? Oh, let me tell you about my Jesus and all the wrong turns that you would go and undo if you could.
Jesus,
he makes a way where there ain't no way,
rises up from an empty grave, ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus,
his love is strong
and his grace is free,
and the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me.
Let me tell you about my Jesus. Your life. Hallelujah, 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 amen, amen.
Who would take my cross to Calvary, pay the price for all my guilty?
Who would care that much about me? Let me tell you about my Jesus.
He makes a
way where there ain't no way, rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus.
He's strong
and his grace is free. The good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, amen.
Let Jesus
change your life. You may be seated. I have a couple announcements. Benediction, we'll sing one more song. You'll be dismissed. May 3rd, on the Saturday at 10 a.m., we're doing a cleanup here at the church, and you can sign up. Anybody that comes, we'll make sure you get something fun to do. That same day, I think it's at 6 o'clock, our youth are going to have a scavenger hunt with photographs. And so I'm guessing they're going to meet here at the church. As well, if you want prayer today, there'll be somebody in the back corner that'll pray for you. There's a lot of food here. Make sure you take something. Make sure you eat something before you go. Have you ever heard death described before? Like taking a nap on the couch. Are you fearful of death?
as you go under the sign of the cross, knowing that Jesus speaks over death and it no longer has any power in our lives. Amen.
Please stand as we finish our service in song. Easter, he is risen and he is Lord.